Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
He is so good. Amen. Can we just say hallelujah one more time? God is good. God is good. God is good. All the time. All the time. All the time. First, giving honor to God, the source of my strength. The one who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, for a fool like me. The one who keeps his Holy Spirit moving in and around all of us who do not deserve it. I need to acknowledge my friend, Pastor Armstrong, and his amazing talent for calling in the midnight hour. When he reached out to me in the Caribbean, I said, man, only you can do this. My family and I are in the process of moving from one residence to another. By God's grace, and all of my stuff, my clothes, everything's in storage, things is in chaos. And we had to go down to Charlottesville, Virginia for a pre-planned family reunion. But we intended to come back late last night and just chill on Sunday. So I wasn't expected at the prison. I wasn't expected at the church. But only God can raise up my brother and put me to work today. I also need to give much respect to my new friends, Reverend Tucker and Reverend Fame. They have certainly stepped up and shown hospitality as only Shiloh can do. And seeing all the deacons again, oh man, I've needed this. Oh, it's so good to see you brothers again and to hear the lovely choir and the musicians still doing what they do. You know, one of the good things about coming home is to recognize that it is home. And I do recognize that it is still home. And also the friends and members of Shiloh. I love you dearly. God bless you. It's so good to see you again. I bring you greetings, certainly, from the French Evangelical Church of New York. Bonjour, que Dieu vous bénisse. Nous vous aimons. Jésus Christ est toujours Seigneur de nos vies. Jesus Christ is still the Lord of our lives up there in New York, and as you all probably guessed, we have been quite busy. God has me quite busy up there. New York is a complicated place. Ground zero in a lot of ways. But through God's strength and grace, we have been able to still move forward in spite of it all. I need to also give you greetings from the church I serve among the incarcerated young men at Garden State Youth Correctional Facility. Your prayers are being answered. Those of you that have certainly helped us out over the years, you need to know that your prayers are being answered. Now there's two full services that are happening there, and two full Bible studies that are happening, and a three-month waiting list for everything. God's doing something in there. You don't ask me exactly what it is, but something's happening. And I am privileged to be a part of it. And I got to give you respect and grace and greetings from my family, my wife Margaret, daughters Ashley, Jasmine, and son Nicholas. They're all still sleeping, I think, right now, because we got back in at 2 a.m. From Virginia, but they send their love, and this is home for them too. So even though we got the call in the midnight hour, there is a word from the Lord. Today, this morning, it will be found in a psalm that we all are familiar with, Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I would like to read verses 1 to 18. Psalm 139, verses 1 to 18. You're looking for it, you found it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're still looking for it, say, help me, Lord. Psalm 139. As we all know, the Psalms are songs. And I know people love getting their groove on, listening to songs on the radio. But you can get your spiritual groove on reading these songs written by the prophets and the musicians of God. Psalm 139, verse 1 to 18. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall upon me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Brothers and sisters, beloved of God, we are going to be dealing with the topic, no escape. No escape. Would you please pray with me? Lord God in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to wrestle with your word. We ask, Lord God, that you would make us stronger as we wrestle with your word, Lord God. Indeed, as we wrestle with ourselves, use your word as a mirror of our souls, Lord God, so we can fight to correct what we need to correct, let go of what we need to let go of. And Lord God, use me as a hollow instrument through which you can breathe the words of life. Do not allow me to deceive anybody, but to use your word to help somebody believe. These things we humbly ask in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. We're just going to be dealing with three topics this morning of this topic of no escape. First of all, we need to remember and recognize and be honest about the fact that many of us believe that we live in a world of no escape. Many people come to a point in their lives where they feel trapped. They believe it is useless to try and escape their condition or state of being. Many people have become desperate and hopeless because they have been so overwhelmed by the public and private challenges of life. Certainly after seeing the news about that commercial airliner that was shot down by a military missile, after seeing the strife that continues to exist in the land where our Lord and Master Jesus walked, and certainly locally when we hear the news as the brother had talked about in the prayer of thugs running rampant, chaos and disorder, hurting innocent people. When we hear all that, see all that, experience all of that, we recognize the following, and that is, unfortunately, there seems to be no escape from the sadness of this world. There seems to be no escape from the disappointment of this world. There seems to be no escape from the tragedies of this world. There is no escape from these things, like there seems to be no escape from enormous debt, health problems, family problems, problems in lodging, problems with employment, problems with emotions, problems with friends, problems with family, problems with the ministry, problems with the deacons, problems with the person sitting to your left, to your right, problems with your children, problems with your kids. There seems to be no escape from problems. As a matter of fact, you can argue that being born is a problem. And there seems to be no escape. No matter how much money you get, more money, more problems. And it is also interesting because less money, more problems. Being on this planet is a problem. And usually when people feel this and understand this, they feel trapped, incarcerated, imprisoned. Everywhere they look, they feel like it would be a waste of time to even ask for help because they do not feel that help can reach them. Neither home, family, friends, nor finances can reach them. Or even if they could reach them, they don't have enough power to give deliverance, only comfort with dealing with the problem. Certainly I have lived this, certainly see this, dealing with incarcerated young men who all their lives they have been told they are problem. And you do become what you are told. I don't care what anybody else tell you. You do become what you are told. My grandfather, I didn't believe him. He told me I was going to be a preacher. I didn't believe him. And here I am. Many people feel so trapped that they believe that they are even beyond God's help. Haven't you been there? Caught up in a mistake that you know you did, and you're so ashamed you ain't even gonna ask God for help. But that is the time where you need to ask for help. It's like that person that does not want to go get treatment for their sickness or disease, they're just gonna wait on it as if it's gonna get better by itself. That is the time for us to become humble, is it not? When we realize that we all need help. That's the first thing. I mean, you understand that was what makes you human, needing help. Amen. We were not put here to be by ourselves. We were put here to be in community. And so I need to admit when I need help. But when you are even at that point of believing that not even God can help you, perhaps there is someone that has felt that here. Though you are one of those people that need to read 139 verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit, O Lord? Where can I flee from your presence? Fortunately, Psalm 139 teaches us that despite these hurtful things, and this is my second point, there is no escape from the love of God either. Wherever we go, God is there. Wherever we are, God was present before you got there. There was a theologian named Shirley Guthrie who says in his book, Christian Doctrine, that the presence of God is the presence of justice and love. Therefore, there is nowhere we can be without being in the presence of God's justice and God's love. Psalm 139, 8 to 10 shows us very plainly, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. A lot of people have made some hell-like beds, some hellish beds in the world, but God was still there with them. Amen. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost, deepest parts of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me. No matter how high I fly, God is there. No matter how low I go, God is there. If I am aware of this, if I accept this, because of course, being aware of something is different from accepting it. If I am aware and I accept this dynamic, then there is no room in my consciousness for defeat. There is no room in my consciousness for fear. There is no room in my consciousness for doubt. If I am aware of God's presence and I am aware of God's power, why should I doubt? There is no place in my heart for despair if I know God is there. If we, by our own mistakes or by the mistakes of others, are in places and situations where we believe that it is just too dark for the Lord to help us, let us remember what it says in that text. The darkness shall not hide from God, but to God the night shines as the day. Darkness and light are both alike to God. Now that's a deep statement. Can I break that down just a little bit? Because you see, we tend to make this differentiation between light and dark. You see, when we are about to do something messed up, we try to do it in the dark. You know, we start stumbling around, it's usually in the dark. You know, we invented electric lights to lessen the amount of time we are in the dark, because we have fear of the dark. But my Bible says that in the book of Genesis, God created in the dark. My Bible says in the Gospels that God made new creation through the dark crucifixion of Jesus. Dark and light are alike to him. So if you are walking around in fear of the dark, then you need to put a little bit more of the awareness of God's presence in your mind. And see, this affects, this is, and I can testify to this. I did not, growing up, expect to be, want to be, even thought about becoming a prison chaplain. For me, prison was a dark place. That's a dark place for where dark people go. I'm not going. And if I gotta go, I'm going kicking and screaming. But God taught me in there that God can be present even in there. And when you have the ability to go to certain dark places in this world, and I know it's dangerous, people. I know it's dangerous. I know it's real out here. I'm not saying anybody got to be a superhero with a bulletproof vest walking around. But what I am saying, if God is offering an opportunity to go someplace where you are not comfortable, but he's hooked it up for you, it's on you if you say no, not on God. God has the power not just in light. It's not like he gets his energy from light. He is all. And if he is all, then the darkness is the same to him. I mean, that's what this text is saying. So even in my dark points of my life, God can take control. Even in my light points of life, I need to not let myself get a big enough head, because I know that God is still in control. It is when we are at our lowest depth that we have the opportunity to do our best in the Lord. The Lord and the Lord's love are everywhere. So when you have fallen to a point where you are just not sure where to go, when you are in a situation, maybe by, as I said earlier, your fault or somebody else's fault, please do not see it only as a low point, but also see it as an opportunity to get stronger. Because your God is just as strong as when you were strong as when you are weak. We the only ones going up and down. God is consistent. Amen. So this brings me to my third point. I think it's pretty obvious, but I'm going to state it anyway. If there is no escape from God's love, then there is no place where we are completely powerless. Don't you think that you are anywhere without power? Don't you believe it? I don't care how much money's in the bank. I don't care if you just lost your job. I don't care if you're upset. I don't care if you've even been incarcerated. Please do not underestimate the power that is available to you because of God's presence. Right? I mean, look at verse 14 of 129. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The way you are made can bring shock and awe to others around you. And if you are walking in the presence of God, when you walk up into a room, some people should be feeling some shock and awe from the power that's bouncing off of you coming from God. Right? God created us with the potential for great power. The power of love. One of the keys to accessing that power is the patient practice of being aware of God's presence. You need to have the patient practice of being aware of God's presence. Not just when you walk into the house of God, but recognize that your body is the house of God. So wherever you walk, you should be practicing the presence of God. There was an educator and theologian named Palmer Parker who wrote a book called To Know As We Are Known. And he said that God knows us in love. And we know that through the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Why else would he go through that if it weren't for love? Amen. Amen. Therefore, we are called to know the world as we are known in love. Can you see the world through the love of God regardless of how you are feeling? And I know our feelings go up and down. You know, and if you want to get a strict definition of love, I love what's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Something that everybody talks about when people get married, but few people remember after they are married. Amen? And it makes this differentiation between the romantic love and the agape spiritual love, you see. And the thing is, if you can see the world through the love of God, that is to say, you can even see your enemies as a potential disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can pray for them. It don't mean you just lie down and be abused by them, but it does mean you can pray for them. Oh, Lord, somebody just, I mean, we were going through, with my wife and I, we've been trying for this house we're going for the last 9 months. And the owner of the house, he really loved the house. He doesn't even live in the state anymore, but he has a problem letting go because he built the house, you see. And I said to my wife, at one point, we were getting so many problems and nitpicking issues. I said, well, if he's not going to let go of the house, let him keep the house. I don't need him. I don't need any of this. I got too much, we have too many problems already. Why is this man invading our consciousness? Right? And y'all have had that experience where somebody you don't even know just invades your consciousness for no good reason and just brings up all these feelings because you're feeling attacked. You're feeling undeservedly attacked. And so you want to attack back, right? And I'll never forget my cousin actually at this family reunion. She said, well, you need to pray for him. I'm like, man, you're right. Gotta pray for him. Because no matter what he says, does, feels, expects, it does not affect the power that God has given me. Whether we get the house or not, we still have salvation. Whether you get that job or not, you still have the love of God. Whether you get that amount of money you need to pay off that debt or not, you still are walking in the love of the Lord. Love can turn the darkest night into the brightest day. Love can transform a dead end into a way out. Oh, haven't you felt it? Haven't you seen it? Had that experience where you were in a spot where you seemed like there was no way out, and all of a sudden, because you changed and you transformed, you saw your situation with new eyes and you saw a step up, not a step down. Now, only love, only God's love can do that. I can't do it with my love. My love is a sometime, nice music having, feeling good, sunshining type of love. But God's love is a love that walks through darkness to light, back through darkness into another light, back through darkness. It doesn't matter. God's love is, and it is not conditional. We can access this transforming power of love by regularly asking ourselves two questions in any situation. One question is, what is God teaching me now? The second question is, what is God giving me now? Because our God is a God of gifts and instruction. Gifts and instruction. You need to understand that that word Torah, which is often translated from the Hebrew to English as law or commandment, it also means instruction. Our God is always giving us instruction in any situation, and He's always giving us something. But the world's job is to take stuff away. That's the world's job. Take stuff away. Take away your dignity, your pride, your possessions. Take away it all. Right now, my wife and I are temporarily homeless because of the closing on one house is a week after the closing of the other house, right? We're living in a hotel. All our stuff is in storage in the garage of the house that we're trying to get into. And being without all of these things, first of all, seeing all of your stuff in one room is a eye-opening experience. It really puts everything in perspective, right? Because at one part of you, you have this fear of losing all of it, right? But on the other side of you, like, well, if I lost all of that right now, I'm still breathing. I'm still walking. I'm still talking. Still got a job. Still got the Lord. Amen. You know, but it seems like we fight so much to gain so much more, even though it is us who breathe life into our things. Make no mistake about it. What you are wearing, what you have, has no life without you. And that is why what you have, your stuff, is just a reflection of you. What are you walking around collecting? I have some few collections of myself. I don't want to talk about it now. Y'all want to know what I collect. You see me after service. But the thing is, I look at my collection, my most treasured collection. I'm like, you know what? If I lose that right now, I'm still all right. I'm still feeling good. Still can play basketball with my son. Things are all right. But the world will make you panic. Make you feel like this moment without all your stuff is a moment of darkness. Make you feel like you are weak right now. Like you're going to lose something right now if you lose all your stuff. Let me tell you, no. If you have the Lord with you, if you have the Spirit of God with you, you ain't lost nothing. You gained everything. How can you lose something? If you gain the Lord, how can you lose anything? We are all given our possessions as a act of stewardship. Amen. What we have now is just for a moment. And we are seen and judged by God as how we use what God gave us. That's all it is. What are you doing? It's not about living life to thrive more. It's about living life to give more. If you have more, you better be ready to give more. I mean, that's what the Lord is about. Remember that rich young ruler that came to Jesus, said, "What do I lack?" He said, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor." He was like, "Whoa, wait a minute now. Sell my possessions? Selling my life? Oh, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I respect my parents, I do that. I respect the Ten Commandments. I won't kill nobody. But selling all my stuff and giving to people I don't even know, that don't even deserve, didn't work like I worked for what I have and what I got? Nah." But if we have that relationship with the love of God and we are asking ourselves, what is God teaching me now? What is God giving me now? When I saw all of my stuff in that one room, I said, oh yeah, God is teaching me that I am more than this stuff. And what God has given me is freedom from that stuff. It's amazing how fast we're moving right now. I mean, we just sped up. It's amazing how fast we're moving without that stuff to deal with. Amen? Some of us need to get rid of some stuff so we can get faster. If you want to get faster in life, get rid of some stuff. Amen? Get rid of some of it. Some of you got too much. They got a TV. So many of us got too much. They got TV shows for it. You know, that TV show Hoarders, that shows. I like to watch that. I like to watch it whenever I can catch it because it shows how much we are and can be so attached to things that have no life without us. I'd rather be attached to you, Brother Teal, because you got life. Here you are. We see each other. I talk to you, talk back. You know, these clothes are not talking back to me right now. You know, they only have value if somebody says to me, oh, that's nice what you're wearing. That's the person that brings value to what I'm wearing, not the thing that brings value. Amen? You need to understand that. I'm sorry, I'm diverging. I'm digressing a little bit, but the Lord has given me some stuff here. You need to understand, even with money, because I travel, I was just in Belgium speaking at a conference, and it was amazing because over there they use the euro, right? All my green dollars didn't count because I was in an area that did not acknowledge the value of the American dollar. So when we are here, because we all acknowledge the value of money, it has value. But if we acknowledge the value of people more, that will have value over money. What is God teaching me now? What is God giving me now? God may only be giving you a breath in a moment of despair, but with that breath there is hope. And with it, there is the ability to speak hope into any situation. All right? So even if I have nothing else but my breath, if that breath is based in God, I'm going to breathe life and the word of God and the power of God into any situation. That power of transforming love can only grow with patience and trust in the Lord at all times, not just in the bad times. Amen? So that's why Romans 8:12 teaches us that we need to wait on God with patience and that there is no escape from His presence and His will. And this was proven when Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. My brothers and sisters, it may be true that there is no escape from the wicked schemes of others and the traps that others have laid for you. It may be true that there is no escape for you from some poor physical condition or mental health ailment. It may be true that there is no escape for you from financial debt. And it may be true that there is no escape for you at this moment from a bad relationship. But nevertheless, there is also no escape from the love of God. And if we answer the call of love of God, and we love God back, if we answer the call of God, and we seek His will, then we will have the power to transform any situation. It's just like it says in Romans chapter 8. All things work for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. There is no escape. There is no escape. God bless you. Why don't you stand on your feet? There may be someone right now who's feeling like there is no escape from the pressures and trials and tribulations of this world. And it is for the sake of those that feel like this, that whenever the word of God is preached in public, we need to put out a public invitation for you to come forward and meet the God who has a love for you that is inescapable. Perhaps you have been trying to say to yourself and to friends, I'm not ready yet. But if God has kept telling you that He is ready for you, what do you have to do with it? It's not about us being ready for God. It's us knowing that God is ready for us every day. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not yet recognized that He is the presence, the breath of life that sustains you and moves you, we invite you now to make a public acknowledgement that God is here, that God is in your heart, that God is real. The elders of the church are standing around, hands open, showing a physical representation of how God is always standing next to us with hands open, ready to receive you, ready to love you, ready to make you another example of God's love, ready to use you in that mission of love on earth. Oh, follow your heart. Don't just let what your friends tell you or your perception of reality hold you back. But follow that reality of God that is always present, always around you, and always there to provide healing and understanding. We invite you to come. We invite you to come.